Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 9. Genesis 3 and starting at 9.
Yes, him, Lord.
And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou?
Yep.
And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Verse number 12, where I want to take my text. And the man said, notice here, he's not talking to the neighbor. He's not talking to just the townsmen around him. But he's talking to God.
Yeah.
And the man said, Adam said to God, you know that woman you gave me? Mm. Amen. Yeah. So right off the bat, Adam is really putting the blame. We say he blamed his wife, but really the first blame he put was on God. He said, you gave her to me.
Right.
Yeah. Notice this.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the man said, that woman thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Hallelujah. That's all I want to read tonight. Thank you for standing here for the reading of the word of the Lord. And if God would help me preach for just a few moments tonight, I'd like to talk to us about the blame game.
Amen.
The blame game.
Jesus.
It was the first cop-out, amen, in human history. And it's been used many times since. Hallelujah. Adam had been called in his act of disobedience. Amen. He had made the choice to partake of the forbidden fruit.
Right.
No one twisted his arm. No one held a gun to his head. Amen. Nobody coerced him into this rebellion against God. It was Adam's own decision. Amen.
Right.
But when God confronted him about it, Adam played the weasel. Adam played the blame game, if you will. It's not my fault. Amen. Hey, God. God confronts Adam about his fear. Amen. And he doesn't waste any time. God, amen, was afraid that Adam, and we know God knew, amen, Adam, what hast thou done? Amen. Did you eat of that tree, that forbidden fruit that I commanded you? Amen. God's commands are very important. Amen. When God tells us not to do something, then it means for us not to do it. Hallelujah. And if he tells us to do something, then it means for us to do that. Hallelujah. And then Adam catches the pass the buck. Amen. So, it's somebody else's fault. Hallelujah. Amen. It's somebody else's problem. Amen. And it caused a lot of tension, not only between God and Adam, but between Adam and Eve. Amen. The woman that God gave him to wife. Amen. It's very important in today's time to fess up, amen, when you are wrong, to fess up when you haven't done what you know that you should do, amen. And Adam's children to this day still cling to that old pitch. Hallelujah. Cain killed Abel, amen, and Cain borrowed the same lingo when God came to try to find Cain, amen. God, Cain, I hear thy brother's Abel's blood crying from the ground, amen. And Cain, in other words, passed the buck. Amen. Played the blame game, if you will. And he said, am I, where is thy brother? Am I my brother's keeper? It's not my problem. Amen. Hey, God. Am I my brother's keeper? Oh, God. Amen. A mother stood before a judge with tears in her eyes one day and said to that judge, Your Honor, my son is not responsible for those horrible things that they said he did. The boys he's been running around with are to blame. Oh yes, your son might have been persuaded by that bad crowd that he hang with, but ultimately he made the decision to do those things that landed him behind iron bars.
Amen.
Oh, yes. A father shouted at the high school teacher, you're to blame for my daughter's poor grades. Amen. You're to blame the reason why my child didn't make good grades. Oh, yes. These accusations only partially illustrate how deep the blame game really goes. Amen. The truth is, if I develop a right attitude and a Christian attitude towards God and towards man, I will accept the responsibility of my own actions. Hallelujah. Hey, God. And I must accept at least partially the responsibility for my child's, amen, future and failures. Amen. We're living in a time today, hey, God, where children raise themselves, if you will. I already mentioned this several services ago. Amen. We just send them to daycares. We send them in front of the television sets. We send them in front of the computers and the gadgets and the phones and the iPads and every sort of thing. God, I mean, it's just the time we're in. Amen. Weston ain't but 4 years old. He'll soon be five. And you know, the other day he came up to me and said, Dad, he said, I tell you what I want for my birthday. Amen. Hey, God. Well, really, I already bought him a gun. And I don't guess it was a father's birthday gift, but we bought that gun off Brother Chris. And I've been pumping him up to kill squirrels. Amen. I've got him excited to shoot for some squirrels. Amen. And I hope he's able to shoot one or two. Great God. But anyway, he said, Dad, I'll tell you what I want for my birthday. He said, I want a brand new phone and I want a brand new iPad.
And knocked the wind out of me.
And I looked at him. I just looked at him. He said, now, are you going to get it for me? I looked at him. I said, absolutely not. I didn't know what to think. Absolutely not. You ain't getting no brand new iPad and you ain't getting no brand new phone. Amen. I'm sure somewhere out there's a 5 year old with a brand new phone. Amen. But it ain't going to be Weston. Hallelujah. Great God. Because if I start him off that way, amen. Great God. Can you imagine at 10 what kind of mess he's going to be in? And somebody's got to accept some responsibility for that. Amen. We say, oh, look at how my kid turned out. Amen. Look at how they're rebellious. Amen. Look at how they're in trouble. And when you should have got a hold of it when it was just young. Amen. I remember back home in Gilbert, my parents sold that place and somebody else lives there. And when I go home, every now and then I'll go down that old driveway and I'll show my kids. I say, here's where I grew up. Amen. And my dad planted a purple leaf plum tree many years ago, Brother Tom, and that thing when he bought it, it was started growing crooked. Amen. And it had a crook to it, so my dad got in some inner tube, something soft, and wrapped around that tree and cut holes in it and pulled it with a rope, Brother Anthony, and tied it to a nearby fence post. Amen. And straightened that old tree up while it was still young. That's always stuck in my mind. I remember I was just a young fella. I said, Dad, why in the world are you doing that? He said, well, that trees are growing crooked, amen. And if I get a hold of it and straighten it up with a rope right now and get it straight, and the sun hits it and the moon hits it, 2, 3, 4 years, I'll be able to take that rope off of it and it'll grow straight. Hey, God, it's worth putting the rope on it while it's young, amen, to get it to grow straight. Hallelujah. I know it's not popular. Amen. Michelle had to whip one of them kids the other day out in public, and sometimes you better watch where you are nowadays. Amen. You get yourself in a lot of trouble. Amen. And spank one of them or something. And she said, there's an old butchy looking woman standing over there giving her the eye, running that mouth. Amen. I'm glad she didn't come over and say something. I might have had a cat fight on my hand. Hey, but anyway, Brother Tommy, amen. And she agrees with me, and we agree together. Amen. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to raise our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. and the government, if they think they can step in and tell me how to raise my kids, I got news for them. Hey, they're not doing a very good job at what they are doing. So they better keep their nose out of the home. Amen. That God instituted for the church to have control of. Oh, yes. And that's what God instituted in His book right there. Amen. For the church, for the home to be governed by the church, not the government. And if we had more churches today that would preach the word of God, hey, we'd have better homes. We have better husbands and wives. We have better children on our hands. If the pastors and the preachers today would preach against sin and tell them, hey, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Glory to God.
I better move on there.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hey, man. If my children don't know nothing about the Bible, I can't go down there to the Sunday school teacher. I was bragging on you this morning, Brother Tom, you wasn't here. I said, Brother Tom really has a desire for them Sunday school kids, amen. I said, really got a desire to help them, amen. And all these Sunday school teachers do, amen. But if my child doesn't learn the Bible, amen, then Brother George, in a 1 hour period in Sunday school class or less, amen, once a week, I can't go to the Sunday school teacher and say, my child don't know the Bible because of you. Oh no, when I got them at the house hour after hour after hour after hour, amen, and they waste their time with everything they do all week long. Thank God, amen, I come to tell us, and I know I preached along these lines, amen, time, service after service, here lately, amen, but I've noticed even my children have been reading more, even my children have been praying more when we gather together in that living room and get over that couch and say, oh God, amen, bind our family together. Help us to live for you. And then boys sit over there and they don't know how to pray. So I'll try to teach them a little bit and I'll say, pray for brother. Oh Lord, we ask you to touch Brother Tom. And I'll go down, amen, because I go by where people sit. Pray for this one, pray for that. And then boys will say, oh Lord, would you touch this one and that one? Come on. And it puts a desire in their hearts. Hey, I noticed even Weston, I told you, he just a rambunctious boy. And I knew it wasn't nothing major, but he stepped up right back when it was warm. And he said, I don't want to go to church, Dad. I want to go play. I want to ride a bike. I want to go outside and have a good time. And I said, we're going to go to church, amen, every Thursday and every Sunday, I told him, and then we're going to go to church, amen. Hey, and it's been tickling my heart lately. He told me the other day, he said, I like to go to church, amen. I like to go to God's house. And it put a smile on my face. And I said, what are you going to do, amen? And I go to aggravate him sometimes. Are you going to start playing that bass guitar like Tom does? Oh no, he said, I can't play it. Are you going to play them drums? Oh no, I can't. I said, are you going to sing? Oh no, I can't sing. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to preach like you. I'm going to preach like you. Hey, amen. We got to take some responsibility for our home. Amen. We got to take some responsibility for my house. And don't play the blame game.
That's good. Amen.
We're still like old Adam. He haunts our lives. It's easier to cop out and shift the blame.
Yeah.
Amen. And just hope the problem goes away than it is to deal with it.
Yeah.
Woo! I've done both. I'm not standing here, Brother George, saying I'm perfect. By no means. I've made many mistakes as a father. I've made many mistakes as a pastor. Amen. Trying to get the mind of God on how to lead and, amen, run this church right here. I have made mistakes. But I found out one thing. I've tried that problem, that issue of blaming, putting the responsibility off. Listen, if they hadn't done that, then we wouldn't have been here. Amen. Yeah, I've been down that road, and I've also been down that road, just act
act like it don't happen, and maybe the problem will go away.
Do you know, amen, anytime you do that, and a lot of times I've noticed church problems, church troubles, church personalities have been pushed along down through the years because people wanted to act like there was no problem. So they just push it on away, act like it never happened, and you're dealing with problems that should have been dealt with years ago. Amen. Hey, God, instead of just saying, it's me, oh Lord, it's not my brother, it's not my sister standing in need of a prayer, it's me, Lord, and I'm going to get it fixed. It's me, Lord, I'm going to pray it through. It's me, Lord, I'm going to be more dependable. It's me, Lord, I'm going to be more faithful. It's me, Lord, I'm going to be, amen, one of your right-hand men and women that you can count on, oh God, instead of acting like there's no problem, amen.
That's all.
Woo!
Glory.
That's all.
I found out one thing. If you act like there's no problem, that problem keeps getting worse.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
You take it on Wilbury, Brother George, starts whining. Act like it ain't there, great God. You'll get out of the road for a day once, Brother Anthony.
Right.
And that thing will finally lock up on you.
Yes, buddy.
Woo! Bless and I remember in my mowers, it's a little bit different, but sort of the same principle. You got several pulleys. On it, big one behind runs in blade system. Comes down, hooks to the bottom of that pulley on that motor. And Brother George, them things will start giving a unique, you'd have to run one all the time to hear that. It's not a very abnormal noise, really, but you have to run that thing day in, day out. It don't have that hum like it's supposed to. That, and Kawasaki engines have a certain noise. And when them pulleys are about to lock up, they got a press bearing in there. And before them things go out, Brother George, I always hear a weird noise. Amen. And instead of just taking with my day off or my evening and running down there and buying a bearing, amen, and a new pulley and putting on that thing, Brother Tommy, you know what I do? I run that thing and run that thing until it finally locks up. And then it breaks that other little thing that holds it, which is a $119 fix. And sometimes, amen, if you're not lucky, it'll snap that belt, which is a $75 or $80 fix. Amen. Instead of just stopping and buying a simple pulley, I hear the noise, but I act like it's not there. I hear that problem, but I think maybe it'll go away. It's way better. Well, they say an ounce of prevention is way better than a pound of cure. When you see yourself growing cold and you see yourself heading the wrong direction, you better stop and say, oh no, I'm not doing that, devil. I'm going to get in a prayer. I'm going to get in an altar. I'm going to dig in. And I'm going to get a hold of it before it gets that far.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. So what are you saying, Brother Jason? Number one, you cannot hide behind the skirts of my environment that's around me and hereditary. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
If I've accepted Jesus, listen to this, then I have faced, amen, then I have faced with the principle that I am a new creature in Christ Jesus, and Jesus lives within me. Did you hear that? Paul said, I think it was in Galatians 2:20, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, and he gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Brother Anthony, I hear people say it all the time. I can't live that Christian life. I can't live like so and so. I can't live like such and such. Oh no, you can't. But when he comes in, you can live for God. Amen. When he comes in, you can stand against opposition. When he comes in and lives in your heart, you can tell your dad, amen, I love you, but I tell you what, I'm not playing ball anymore, and I'm not quitting the church, amen. And that's what I had to do. Hey, when Jesus lives inside of your heart, you can live for God.
Amen.
I had a woman tell me several years ago, of course she's not here tonight, but she told me, she said, Brother Jason, I've been thinking about joining your church.
She said, but
I can't quit wearing my pants. I can't quit smoking. I don't know what. No, she listed several things. She done been thinking about it, Brother Anthony. I don't know why people think they got to get clean before they get saved.
That's right.
But as long as you worry about that, you'll never get saved.
That's right.
Because you can't clean yourself up.
Amen.
You can't clean your attitude up.
That's
you
right.
can't clean your mouth up.
Bless
you can't quit
Lord.
Cussing without
Amen.
God. You can't quit smoking cigarettes without God.
That's right.
I heard a doctor with my own ears said cigarette nicotine is 6 times more addicting than cocaine. Amen. Hey, you can't quit that on your own. Oh no, you can't quit doing dope on your own.
Right.
Hey, yeah, oh, I'm gonna go down there in the rehab center. Hey man, I'm gonna replace dope with dope, and I'm gonna go take methadone, and I'm gonna go take Suboxone. Amen. And I'm gonna go take other dopes in place to replace the old dope that I was taking. Oh, you're just getting one fix for another fix.
Amen.
But I come to tell you tonight, if you really get down and get saved, and you really get Jesus living in your heart, it won't mean nothing to quit wearing them pants. It won't mean nothing to keep the scissors out of your hair. It won't mean nothing to quit that dope. Hey, I come to tell you, He'll take it away. He'll take that desire, amen, out of your heart, because He lives in there and not the devil, amen.
You're right. When you're a sinner, the devil's in there.
You're
and
right.
He tells you what to do.
Amen. Come on.
Woo!
Yeah. Good preaching, brother. Bless you.
Yeah. I told him the other night I got a little carried away for Mark.
And you know what? Sometimes when you're visiting church, people think I'm crazy anyway. But I told him, I said, years ago, people, we had to pray the devils out of people.
Yeah.
You had to lay hands and cast the devil out.
Oh, yeah.
We still have to do that today, but nowadays they're not demon possessed. You know what they are? They're mentally disturbed.
God bless the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Michelle seen it. Whatever you call it. And they said that that woman was trying to kill her kids. And she was trying to run that vehicle in the ocean and drown her own kids. And that guy was down there in Daytona Beach. And I drove down that beach many times. You can pay $10 and ride for miles down that beach. It's a beautiful thing to do. We just did it last year, matter of fact. But anyway, Brother Tom, and that woman, I guess, was out there. And she got this big notion. She headed straight towards the water. Put that thing in gear, stomped it. Amen. And these people had it on video. And they said, look at this crazy person. And they laughed and making fun of him until they seen a kid with its head hung out the window crying, help, help, mom's trying to kill us. Amen. Hey! And 2 or 3 men went running and they jerked them kids out of that car, and that mom was trying to hold 1 or 2 of them in there to drown them. Amen. And that one guy said it right. And they interviewed him. They said, what in the world was wrong with that woman? He said, when I looked at that woman, he said, her eyes was that big around. He said, and I know this probably ain't proper to say, but that woman was possessed by something. Amen. That's what he said. That woman was possessed. Now it's not demon possession. It's mentally disturbed. We got a mentally disturbed society. And God, that's possessed by the devil. Oh, and we just keep putting the blame game off on somebody else instead of dealing with the problem.
My.
Oh yes. God doesn't collect stuff that He don't want. He doesn't sell used parts. He makes us brand new.
Amen.
Woo.
Yeah, he does.
I got a couple old trucks that you got to buy parts for, Brother Anthony. And you're a fix-it man. Amen. And you got to buy parts and keep fixing that old stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm glad God don't put old spare parts on us.
Right.
He rejuvenates.
Right.
Makes a brand new heart. Makes a brand new attitude. Gives us a brand new outlook.
Right.
Hey, God gives us a brand new perspective. Oh, yes. That's what kind of God that we serve tonight. Oh, yes. Well, you can't blame me. Amen. Oh, it's that family that I come from. Have you heard that? They blame it on their heredity. They blame it on their ancestors, on their mom and dad. Nobody in my family ever lived for God. How can I but Jesus? Listen. listen to me, gives you a chance to serve God. He picks you up, hey God, amen, out of mediocrity, and he teaches you what real living is all about. No, I'm not talking, amen, about the, amen, gathering of things. We're living in a materialistic society. I'm talking about gaining, amen, a divine life down inside of our heart. He gives us a brand new outlook. Hey, and we can't say, because my family never served God, how do they have a chance? I believe, amen, in this book right here. And I believe in the Spirit of God is enough power for you to serve God no matter what. Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
I already told you, I know I experienced it when my dad said, you're going to play ball or you're going to quit that church down there.
Blessing,
and I made my mind up, Brother Tommy. I said, no, I'm not quitting that church and I'm not playing ball.
Lord,
I'm going to serve you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
So, in other words, my family could not hold me down.
Right.
I know some say that. Some say I can't serve God because of the family situation I'm in. Oh, that's false. That's false. You can serve God.
That's right.
I've heard people say, well, so-and-so make me backslide. No, they don't know that's false.
Right.
So-and-so can't pluck you out of the hand of God.
Amen.
Right.
God said, I'll put you on my hand. No man can pluck you out. So-and-so can rub you the wrong way. So-and-so can rub your skin wrong, keep you agitated and irritated. And if you don't watch out, they'll keep you hateful all the time. Yeah, they can do that. They can't cause you to backslide. Amen. Oh, no. I tell you what you got to do. You got to make your mind up. I'm going to serve you, Lord, no matter what.
Amen.
Thank
God. I can't hide behind my sin.
Thank you.
Numbers 32 and 23. Be sure your sin will find you out. I must admit, you know, it's hard to get them saved when you can't even first admit they're lost.
That's right.
That's the truth.
That's right.
Bible said, for all sin comes short of the glory of God. This sin problem started with who?
Adam.
Yeah.
The same man I'm preaching about tonight. This sin problem started with Adam. Amen. When Adam and Eve corrupted the covenant of God, they did it by an act of their own self-will. Your self-will will get you in trouble.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes, it will.
Right, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When you go to acting out of what you want to do, look out. You're fixing to get in trouble.
Yep.
Yeah. Instead of doing what God beckons
you. Amen. That's right.
Woo.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Right.
Lord. Hallelujah. Did you hear that?
God bless
when you
Lord.
Go to acting on what you want to do, look out, you're heading for trouble.
That's right.
That's why a youngster has to be, the Bible said, trained in the way that he should go. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, here's what the Bible said, he will not depart from it. Woo.
Right.
It goes against the grain. But you know that child was born a sinner? Weston and Hudson, neither one of us had no type of age of accountability whatsoever. But if they do something that they know they're going to get in trouble for, and you say, did you do that? They say, you don't have to train a child to be mean. You got to train them to be good.
That's right.
Woo.
Amen, brother.
Why is that? Because it's in their Adam nature to be bad.
That's right.
It's in their Adam nature to lie.
Right.
It's in their Adam nature to sin.
Right.
Oh, yeah. But if you break that nature, you got to train them to be good. Amen. Hey, God. So we can't blame them. Oh, it's that sinful nature that I got. Oh, no, I can't blame that. I got to face up and say, yes, everybody else has a sinful nature, and they overcome it. Amen. Yeah, I know you don't believe this, but sometimes I got to grab Jason by the neck of the shirt and say, Painter, get out of there. Amen. Oh, yeah. Yes, I know you ain't never had to do that, but I got a painter nature in me. Oh, yeah, it started with my grandma, down through my dad, and somehow it got in me. And if I don't watch out, painter will get the best of me. And I got to say, oh, have you ever did that? I had to do it. I had to do it many times. I had to do it recently. Oh, God, get old painter out of the way. I don't want to act on my will. I don't want to act out. But Lord, let me get painter out of the way.
Amen.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
Praise
Glory
God.
To God.
Yes.
I'm going to live for Jesus. Lastly, my closing remarks, no matter what.
Come on, buddy.
Do you believe you can serve God no matter where or what gets in the way?
Right.
You look at Joseph, and I don't have time to tell his whole story. But Joseph served God even though his brothers hated him. Throwed him in the pigeon. Pit. Throwed him in the pit. Amen. Woo! You know what they
bless him, Lord.
I got the pit and the dungeon mixed up there and called it a pigeon. So throwed him in the pit.
Bless him, Lord. Come on, brother.
Yeah. And they really wanted him dead, but Reuben stepped in and said, no, let's don't kill him. Let's give him a chance. So they throwed him down in the pit. They seen some Ishmaelite slave traders coming down the road.
Sure did. Mm-hmm.
And they said, let's sell him. So they sold him.
Right.
Woo. Well, Tom, so he ended up down there in Egypt. Amen. And he got sold again. And Potiphar bought him. He ended up, looked like things were getting a little better. And then Potiphar's wife accused him of something he didn't do.
Yeah.
Amen. That was really worthy of death if he'd really been a guilty of it. So they throwed him down. He went from the pit down to Egypt and finally down in the bottom of that dungeon.
Right. Man, that's right.
I want you to notice all the things that went negative in Joseph's life,
it never affected
his character or his integrity towards God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Bless him, Lord.
Hallelujah. I thought you'd tell me that one.
Bless him, Lord. Amen.
I said it never one time affected his integrity towards God.
Praise be to God.
Adam got in trouble, and the first thing when things don't go your way, most of the time the first one that gets a blame's God.
Amen.
Rod, you remember that woman you gave me? She's the problem.
Amen.
Oh, and when things don't go right in our life, you know who we blame most of the time? God. Why did you let this happen? But not one time did Joseph ever say, God, why did you allow this? Oh, no. But on the contrary, Joseph said, God, you did it for my good. God, you got me right in the right place, right at the right time to save the world. I come to tell you, don't play the blame game, but trust God. Trust God in the temptation. Trust God in the trial. And have faith that God knows how to get you where, amen, you need to be, when you need to be there.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
I'm going to live for Jesus no matter where I'm at.
Amen.
Well, I can't live for Jesus. Look at all this is going on. I got a question for you. Where can you serve the Lord? Over in China, where it's communist? Over in the Ukraine, where they got an iron curtain up still to this day? Where can you serve the Lord?
Bless him, Lord.
Woo! Down there at a power factory?
Anywhere.
Woo!
Oh, come on.
Amen. Where could you serve the Lord? Well, I come to tell you the gospel is so powerful that it enables a man or a woman to serve God right where they are. Paul remained faithful to the Lord. Amen. Oh, yes, even though he was repeatedly beaten, even though, amen, time after time he went through trouble, Paul was still able to serve the Lord right where he was. David Livingston kept going, even though his left lung, amen, was useless, following an attack from a lion, and his body was brutalized. Oh, yes, but he kept on preaching, and he kept on going. I thought about to the day I listened to that old brother Bill Addis. He's a holiness preacher. Oh, brother Bill Addis, he had got wounded in the war many years ago. I think it was in World War II, and got shot in the throat, Brother George, and he talks like this.
Yeah.
Many times, hey, preaching, I thought to myself, if I had a better voice, I could preach better. Oh, no, I got just the voice I need. Amen.
Yes.
Oh, Brother Bill Addis, he talks like this, and he preaches, and he gives it his all. And I used to think to myself, why does that guy even try? Why does that guy suffer? Amen. And force these words out. His voice box was Tammy's, and I tell you why, because he can preach right where he's at. Hey, God. Amen. Paul, you've been beaten. Amen. Left half dead. Great God, just give up. No, he said. When the sun come up, he started putting his shoes on. And he told them, boys, I'm going to Derby to preach the gospel. You preach right where you are. Paul and Silas was in the jailhouse in the
should have been saying, we don't have to put up with this. I don't got to live like this. Oh, no. But long about midnight, I'm about to feel like preaching. I said, long about midnight, Paul said, I can't do anything about where I'm at. I'm just going to go ahead and praise the Lord. I think I'll sing a song. And Silas said, I'm going to help you the best I can. So the duet got started, and they sang their way out of prison. I come to tell us, you can serve God right where you are. You can make it to heaven. Hey, in the middle of a concentration camp, you can serve God. Amen. In the midst of horrid conditions.
For Tin Moon tells that story.
Glory to God.
How they hated, you know. Oh, they was about to all but executed in them gas chambers.
Yeah.
And they took them and threw them in a buck with a bunch of fleas. Remember that?
Yeah.
Stripped them down. Amen. Searched them, but they had an old Bible.
Yeah.
Thank God that they hid. Woo! Woo! Everybody else would dry up and say, why do I got to live like this? Not only am I starving to death, I'm skinny and skin and bones. Any day they're going to take me down to the gas chamber and execute us. Right. Now we're in a bunk full of fleas. Hey, but you know what Corey Ten Boone said?
Oh,
they got to noticing and them guards wasn't coming in there. They had smuggled a Bible in there. And they got to noticing them guards wasn't coming in there in that dormitory because it was eat up with fleas.
Yeah.
Woo! So what happened? They had revival in that dormitory. I said, you can serve God right where you are. You can serve God in the middle of the flea-infested dorm. You can serve God in the middle of a house that nobody says, hey, that you're the only one. You stand up and say, I made my mind up. No matter what, I'm going to serve the Lord. After the Holy Ghost, you can serve God right where you are.
Stand
with me
in this house.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
I've often wondered what grieved God the most.
Glory.
Adam eating that forbidden fruit. Or shuddering off his responsibility. God, Adam, what are you doing down there walking in the garden? He said, Lord, I'm naked. Mm-hmm. And I tried to find a covering.
Yeah.
God said, who told you you was naked? Mm-hmm. Did you eat of that tree I told you not to? Did you eat of that fruit I told you to stay away from? And right then Adam knew he was sought out.
Yeah.
He knew he was found out.
Man.
Yes.
And he said, God, you gave me that one. No. She's the father.
That's right.
Instead of just buckling down with tears and crying, he said, oh God, I've sinned. I'm sorry for my sin. You can get over problems way faster if you just admit it. Be a man, be a woman, admit it, and say, amen, I'm going to get this straightened out.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
I've had preacher friends mess up, get themselves in a horrible shape.
Yeah.
And you know most of them, amen, God would forgive them and go on, but you know most of them, the reason why they can't get back restoration where they need to be because they don't ever want to fess up that they did wrong.
Man, that's right.
True. Come on.
Oh, gosh, and Lord.
We talk about Saul, and God basically got rid of Saul and killed Saul and got him out of the way because Saul rebelled against God and against God's word and did what God told him not to do.
Right.
And everybody says, well, look at David. Look what David's sin was probably worse than Saul's sin.
That's right. Come on.
David rebelled against God. He should have been out to battle, took a man's wife, called her husband in after found out she was expecting a child, called her husband in and told him to go home. He was so faithful, he wouldn't go home. He slept on the doorstep of the king's house.
Praise be to God.
David said, come over here, Uriah, and I got a letter I need you to take Joab. And sent his death sentence by his own hand.
Yeah.
He said, when you get in the hottest of the battles, put old Uriah at the forefront.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm.
You're ready. So not only did he sin, not only did he rebel against God, commit adultery, now he's a murderer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
David's sin was horrible.
That's right.
Here's the difference right here.
Yes.
Saul played at the blame game. Saul always wanted to put it off on somebody else. Here's the problem. Here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Here, Saul never admitted he's wrong.
That's right.
But when David was found out, he cried, oh, God, I've sinned against you, and I want your forgiveness. Will you forgive me, oh God? Will you restore unto me the joy of thy salvation? I don't want to be out of fellowship. I'll make it right. I'll cry to me, God. I want to fix up. I'm not going to put the blame game on somebody else, but I'm going to make it right.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
God bless David because of that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Thank you, Lord.
So it's a horrible thing to pass the buck. Amen. Don't be mediocre. Don't always kick the rock around and say, well, I could have done something in life if it hadn't been for this one or that one. Don't spend, life is too short.
Yes, it is.
To spend it always saying, I could have done better if it hadn't been for this one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If it hadn't been for that one.
That's right.
That's right.
Quit playing the blame game.
Thank you, Lord.
Stand up, be a man of God. Stand up, be a woman of God. Say, I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what.
Praise God.
You got just as much time in your day as the president does. Mm-hmm. You ever thought of that? You look at the people, the great inventors and stuff, that's done a lot for society down through the years. You got as much time in your day as they do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They get up and get busy and get to work and get focused in on what they need to do.
Yep.
And many people, instead of being focused, they're so scattered, all they want to do is just sit around, amen, and wallow in the muck and the mire, and wallow in all the woes of life, and blame everybody on why they ain't where they need to be.
Right.
I preach to us tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I got you standing, and we're getting ready to call an altar call here, but I really feel the Lord in this house tonight. I really feel a seriousness. Amen. Coming over this crowd.
Thank you, mighty God.
I tell you what we need to do. We need to fess up and man up and woman up and say,
amen.
I'm gonna quit passing the buck. I'm gonna quit playing the blame game. And I'm gonna get serious with God.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
I'm gonna get serious with God.
God, Jesus.
I'm gonna get serious with God.
Blessed be the Lord.
I always thought, Brother Earl, when I was Jonathan's age, mowing yards. People tell me how much they get making our yards. When I first started cutting yards, Jonathan, I cut for $12. Big yards in Westmore, $12. Hey, then, but I cut for Gilbert. I didn't know what people was making down here. Them old ladies, they liked me for several years. Man, I was cutting our yards for $12, $15. Them yards over on Van Sant, I cut for years for $12. $12.
Wow.
But anyway, I used to think to myself, Brother Tommy, how does these guys tell me I cut this yard for $40? And I used to think to myself, how in the world could they ever do that? How in the world could they? And finally, I was telling Michelle today, I met some people down there where we was eating at. They used to mow yards and they couldn't make it. And then they got into landscaping and they couldn't make it. People get into business, they can't make it. You know why? I thought about this. I put a lot of thought in this, Brother Tommy, because they're not totally devoted in what they do.
That's it, yeah.
Man.
And this translates not only in the business world, but into the church world.
Right.
Until you get totally devoted on what it is you're doing, you're never going to really succeed like God wants you to succeed.
Come on.
If you ain't really sold out, amen. Oh, people laugh at me, brother. Tommy, they say, we can set our clock, amen, on Mondays, Tuesdays, unless it's a rain. They know about 12:30, if that's the week I'm usually there, they know old Jason getting ready to show up.
Yeah.
And I built a business on that. On being faithful, on being dependable.
Thank God.
On being hardworking, on being honest.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Yes, that works. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's right.
I come and tell you, that can translate into the church.
That's
world.
Right.
You be faithful to God.
Faithful.
If you can be faithful and show up to your work every day, and you can be faithful and do the things that are necessary in life, every day you can be faithful to God.
That's right, brother. Amen.
God needs to be able to depend on you.
Thank you, Lord.
God needs to be able to trust you.
Thank you, Lord.
Right.
Think about it. Amen. God's got a marvelous gospel, and he's depending on us to get it across. Oh, yeah, that's the preacher's job. No, it's your job, too. The Bible said you're an epistle read of all men. It's your job to spread the gospel, too.
Amen. You're right,
brother. Hallelujah. I better get out of here.
Glory.
Hey, it is with me here tonight. Oh, God. I've preached to you, Lord, what's been on the bottom of my heart here today. But when it really comes down to it, only this crowd can make that ultimate decision. It's their decision between them and you, Lord. I'm gonna quit kicking the rock, amen. I'm gonna quit passing the buck. I'm gonna quit playing the blame game. And I'm gonna trust you, Lord. I'm gonna face this issue square in the face. I'm going to pray
Lord,
through.
I love you.
And I'm going to depend on you, Lord, and I'm going to come out the better. Hallelujah. Come on. Who wants to get in these altars tonight?
Amen. You blame this and you blame that. You put the blame off on here and there. A reason I can't really get established. Oh, no, no, no. I believe the Lord spoke to my heart and said, that's not the reason why. The reason why is because you want to put the blame on everything else. You can serve God in the midst of a concentration camp.
Thank you for your word.
You serve God, Joseph, down in the land of Egypt where nobody knows. You can serve God no matter what. Amen.
Voice without the judgment now, and say,